Sophie Gibson Rush is one of the co-hosts of Locals Only and a key part of the creative ecosystem that is Tucson in a few different capacities, including her work at the Rialto. And it is my delight to welcome her to the show. She's stepping in for Chris Carey today to talk about our classic pick. Welcome.
Thanks, Hannah. I do love that introduction. It made me just aglow.
Oh, well, all the things are true things.
Thank
you. You know, I try and be accurate. Before we get into this, I do want to ask you just a little bit, because we were talking about the off mic before. So you're involved in the Rialto, and like any music venue, especially a music venue that's a nonprofit, you probably do a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
What is something that you really enjoy about working at the Rialto? I realize that's kind of like a broad question. There could be lots of things, but I'm curious. What do you enjoy the most about working in a venue?
Well, this is kind of unfair because I'm going to throw back something that we talked about off mic, but standing in the back of a show talking to Chris Carey about music and
totally.
Just that kind of like beautiful nerd culture where you can be so deeply passionate and be watching the thing that you're so deeply passionate about at the same time while talking to someone who is equally passionate
full immersion in music nerddom.
I'm not sick of it yet.
That makes perfect sense. And you're also pursuing some film studies right now
at Pima Community College.
Wonderful.
Huge shout out. It's been incredible.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that you're here today. You brought in an XTC record. Tell us a little bit about which one, what year it came out, kind of just the 411 background on.
Yeah. I brought Black Sea. It came out on the 12th of September in 1980, which makes it 39 years old. And right when we start to talk about XTC, we get into trouble because they're a band that was kind of refused to be categorized.
Yes.
Their career was super, super, super long. They broke up in 2000. So
by definition, nonlinear, really.
Yeah. And they've been categorized in so many different genres, from like alternative in the 90s to like experimental pop to psychedelic with the Dukes of the Stratosphere, I believe. So I just want to focus in on this period of time between 1978 and 1982, where they were really being experimental within a pop format. And that is kind of smack dab where this album falls. As far as the way that they categorize themselves, Andy Partridge, the front man and major songwriter, says, blatantly, it's just pop music. We were a new pop group, that's all. So we can go with him and say that it's just pop, but it's a lot more than that.
Can you tell me a little bit about the making of the record itself? Is that something that you explored in your research?
Totally. So they were on a grueling tour schedule, which this kind of re-educated me about what it was like to be a rock and roll band in the late 70s and early 80s, where it wasn't glamour, it was work, and you were signed to a label who maybe was mistreating you, and it's just not.
And there was no GPS, so you were lost on tour all the time, probably.
So they were on this intense tour schedule. Partridge was having mental health problems, which is completely understandable, and at the same time they were being pressured to write. And this album is the follow-up to the previous album, Drums and Wires. So when they eventually arrived in studio, he originally wanted to call it Work Under Pressure.
Fair enough.
Right, exactly. So everything worked out. They're in studio. This is at Virgin's, the townhouse studio, which, to my previous point, was freezing cold. There were rats. They were living upstairs, you know?
So super glamorous.
Yeah, exactly. So they arrived in studio, and Partridge's goal was to kind of capture that live sound that they had worked on for the past year following Drums and Wires, which had more like angular guitars and these expansive drums in the studio. And so he cut back all of the overdubs. He really focused the songwriting. And this is with the rest of the band, of course. It's not just his venture.
Right.
So it kind of has this, it's not stripped down, but it's very focused, this album. And this album is about as close as you're going to get to hearing what XTC sounded like live. And they were known for these like really potent live performances in 1980.
Right. And then after this, they stopped playing live for a while, right?
Exactly. Which is the irony of this album, that it was written to be this ultra performable, like every note that he sings, he knew that he could reach.
Right.
You know? And then within a year, his mental illness problems and just, I think, the stress that the band was under from the label to just perform six nights a week led him to decide never to perform live again. So...
Well, at least we have this lovely document.
Yeah, exactly. A little more about the production itself. They worked with Steve Lillywhite as producer, and he, with engineer Hugh Padham, pioneered the gated reverb sound, for those who don't know.
David Bowie whenever someone says gated reverb.
Yeah, or Peter Gabriel, or actually Phil Collins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for those who don't know, it's where the drum sound has a lot of reverb on it, but then the tail is cut off. So just go listen to like pretty much any 80s pop album, and you'll hear that like doing, doing, doing,
yeah,
doing sound. So this producer and the sound engineer together pioneered that sound, and you can kind of hear it in the expansiveness of the drums. And the drums on this album are really what initially hooked me about it. It's a very specific, very primal kind of sound.
Well, yeah, and that's unusual to have something being a drum-driven endeavor, you know?
Yeah.
Especially within the realm of pop.
Yeah, and I think I should say the drums are Terry Chambers on drums. He's one of the original members of the band. The songwriting was shared by Andy Partridge and Colin Moulding, and it wasn't always a super harmonious.
Given that background you gave me, that doesn't sound surprising.
Exactly.
Work under pressure, indeed.
Yeah, and I think they talk about how with the previous album, which this album is linked to, Drums and Wires, Colin Moulding had written some of the highest charting songs from that album. And he wrote Generals and Majors on this album, which was one of their most successful songs. So he felt, maybe rightfully, that he was the writer of the hits. And then that Andy was maybe the more experimental co-writer, the one who like pushed things to strange and new directions.
Very good. I want to ask you about your first selection before we get into that. So we'll get to that in just one moment. But this is the classic pick. I am talking to Sophie Gibson Rush about her XTC selection, the album Black Sea. All right, anything else to add before you tell me about your first song selection here?
Not exactly, other than I think this album, you hear a lot of... like pushing a boundary in 1980, which I think is really exciting, that these guys from rural England somehow identified the boundary and then decided to kick it, which
Excellent.
I think is super cool. We're going to hear Rocket from a Bottle, and I picked this song because I'm learning guitar, and the guitar solo in it is super cool.
You like the guitar solo.
Yep.
I get it. Thank you so much, Sophie.
Yeah,
you can come back anytime, all right?
All right.
All right, XTC.